Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, maybe you'd like to make a comment about the program, whether it's favorable or unfavorable. Or maybe you've had a Bible question or a Bible subject that you've had a question about or been studying and would like to learn more about. Certainly, we'll be willing to deal with those on the program. So all you have to do is to feel free to contact us at the information that's either given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Have you ever heard of a parent who, in frustration at a child's unwillingness to obey, make this statement, "Go ahead and do whatever you want to do, you're going to do it anyway." And you know, it's usually not said with approval, but with the sad realization that the child has no intention of obeying, at least at that moment, whatever the instruction is that they've been given. You know, at times it's said for the shock value, maybe with the hope that the child will wake up and realize that they're being disobedient and perhaps even rebellious and will make the necessary change and repent. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of rebellion against God. As you study the history of Israel, you find out not only God's patience, but the depth to which he went to try and to bring Israel back to him. The Lord tried everything he could to bring them back, at times with limited results, and at times with no results whatsoever. In fact, one example of this is found in 1 Kings chapter 22. This was when Israel, the nation of Israel, is governed by Ahab and Jezebel, who of course have that distinction, sad to say, in the scriptures of being the most wicked king of Israel. But in the context, we see an occasion when Jehoshaphat, who was the king of the nation of Judah, visits with Ahab. Ahab invites Jehoshaphat to join him in taking Ramoth in Gilead. Jehoshaphat, being a righteous king, has a request to make. He says, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." That we read in verse 5 of 1 Kings 22. Jehoshaphat wanted to know if the Lord would be with them. So Ahab calls for his, I guess you might call them, the parade of yes men, and those who would tell him to go, and he would find great success. But Jehoshaphat knows that they're charlatans, and he further made a request in verse 7, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" Ahab's response to that, we read in verse 8. He says there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Malaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Nevertheless, Micaiah is called, and as he is prepared to see the king, he is urged in verse 13 to speak encouragement to the king. Micaiah clearly says that only the words that he will speak are those that would be commanded of him of the Lord, and this we find in verse 14. When the prophet finally appears before Ahab and is asked if they should go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, he said, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king." That's found in verse 15. Based on the context, it's obviously that Micah was being sarcastic. and it reflected in his voice. Let's look and read verses 15 and 16. He says, "He came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee, that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So in essence, what the prophet was saying was, go ahead and do what you want to do. After he was rebuked, that is, the shock effect got the king's attention, then Micaiah tells the truth. In essence, he says that if Ahab went to battle, he would be killed and he would lose. In fact, if we read and don't have time, but in verses 19 through 23, Micaiah explains all of those who said, go ahead, were lying, and it was the Lord's hope that he would be persuaded to go and thus perish. Ahab was warned not to go. And as you read the rest of the text, you find a sad conclusion to all of it. Ahab went anyway, and he died in battle. We read that in verses 29 through verses 40. You know, I find it amazing that even after being told that he would die if he went, by the only true source that he knowed of, yet Ahab went anyway. The text shows efforts to avoid defeat, including wearing a disguise and dire consequences for the prophet who told him the truth. But the word of the Lord came true as a random soldier drew his bow and struck the king between the joints of his armor, and he died that day. So one might ask why Ahab acted as he did in the face of a direct warning from God. I really think the answer is very simple, and it's plain. He wanted to. So there is a reality that influences the overwhelming majority of people in this world. We do what we want to do. Often what this means is that we think about what we want right now for ourselves. We may be warned about the consequences of continuing a certain behavior, but we bulldoze ahead. We go full force and do what we want to do anyway. There may be other things that we know we need to be doing, but since we don't want to do them, we find every conceivable excuse to get out of it. And oftentimes we bury the truth, even from ourselves, so that we won't have to face it. But in fact, the fact that we do what we want to do can also be a good thing. If what we want to do is the right thing, then it's good. That does not mean that we find the task ahead of us pleasant. It simply means that with wisdom we have weighed the consequences and determined that whatever discomfort we face in accomplishing the task is worthwhile because of the goal is worthy and it's right. That's why a true Christian is willing to suffer and to sacrifice. It's not because he enjoys the physical misery that might be inflicted upon him, but his desire is to please God and do what's best for others. That's more important to him. In other words, it's what he wants to do. His desire is to please God, and that's his priority. Now let's consider Paul. Open Philippians chapter 3, in verses 7 through 11, here's what he says. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So what's the point of our study? As a preacher, I realize I have a responsibility to preach the word as 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 teaches me to preach the word in season and out of season. That means that when I notice we are not what we ought to be, or I see a problem, either already here or beginning to materialize, I need to tell people the truth. Sometimes this must be done as a rebuke or with harsh and strong language. I will tell you at times because I know the attitudes that many have. What I want to say is, go ahead and do what you want to do. Why? Because I know that no matter what I say or what the scripture says, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. For example, when it comes to attendance, there are some to whom I might just as well say, go ahead and do what you want to do. Because regardless of what the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, you're not going to be here. You are only going to be here when you want to be here, and you're not going to be here when you don't want to be here. I can't do anything to change your mind. When it comes to our attitude toward one another as brethren, I emphasize our need to prefer one another, to love one another. I point out verses in Romans 12, verses 12 to 16, 1 John 3 and verse 11, the Gospel of John, John 13, verses 34 and 35, a number of other verses that shows that we need to prefer one another and to love one another. I must also continually warn about how we use our tongues and our attitudes. But I must confess that there are times that I want to say, go ahead and do what you want to do, because there are some who think of themselves first, and their demeanor shows no intention of changing. When it comes to living a moral life, we know that God has set a high standard. We have to watch what we hear, where we go, what we do, and it's not just when we are in public, but also in the privacy of our homes. Preachers are obligated to preach God's standard of morality, and it's expressed in numerous verses. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 23, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, James 1, verse 21, and on, and how that we cannot serve God with divided loyalties, as Jesus stated in Matthew 6 and verse 24. But sometimes I feel like saying, go ahead and do what you want to do. And when it comes to our need to reach the lost, there are times when I want to say, go ahead and keep the gospel to yourself because it's what you're going to do anyway. But I know that God expects us to share his word with the lost just as someone did for us in times past. I know that the Great Commission applies to me in Mark 16:15 and Matthew 28, verse 19. I know that untold millions are dying untold, and I have the truth that I must find the courage to tell them. I know that the true church is dying in many communities, and after all of the excuses are scrubbed, the reason remains that we are not doing our job to reach the lost. And the reason? Because we really don't want to do it. And other reasons could easily be added to these, but it's my hope that the point has been made. We do what we want to do. So it's not been my intention in this study to discourage us from doing what's right, nor am I saying that it's impossible for those that selfishly are bent on their own way right now to ever change. Change can happen, and sometimes it takes a strong rebuke, just like the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost caused those to be cut to the heart in Acts 2 and verse 37. And so it can change hearts today. So the question is, what do you really want to do? Only you can answer that. But be prepared for the consequences. Friends, we see your time is gone. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant midday, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.